done.
I'd like to call this Finance Committee meeting to order. In attendance today are myself, Mark Bry, as chair, Mrs. Westfall, Mr. Richardson. Mr. Hanem is on his way. He's just left downtown a few minutes ago, so he'll be here as soon as he can. Also in attendance are council members, Mr. McKinn, Ms. Stahl, Mr. Hanson, and also in attendance from the administration of the mayor, Mr. Sanford, Mrs. Browning, Mrs. Bigelow, Chief Miller, Mr. Schreuer, Mr. Silvernail, and Ms.
Puerto Rica.
Puerto Rica. I apologize if I botch it before it's all said and done. I probably will, so I apologize in advance. Who is the taxation administrator for the city of Sylvania? So the primary purpose of tonight's meeting is to consider ordinance number 101-2022. It was originally sent to members of council a couple of months ago, and in my understanding of this piece of proposed legislation is that it would modify the one section of the code requiring notification of landlords, so the tenant's information needs to come through to commercial properties, not just residences and apartment, residential and apartment building owners. So with that, one of the things I wanted to just put on the record on the front end. Mr. Schreuer, did you have something that you wanted to add?
You did summer it up good. I'll just add that the proposed changes will bring us in line to what MAMI and Perrysburg do. Oregon excludes the residential landlord currently.
Commercial.
I'm sorry. Thank you, Christy.
So MAMI and Perrysburg have similar ordinances?
And we're changing it too, correct.
Of what we're looking to do. What about Toledo?
Do you know that, Christy? I don't know if Toledo.
Okay. Christy, come on up. You need to identify yourself for the record. Right up to the podium.
And there might even be a microphone there.
And it might be on.
Hello. I'm Christy Ortega, the tax commissioner.
So, you're not sure about the city of Toledo?
I am not. I did not look into their ordinance. Typically, when we look to other cities, we look at Perrysburg, MAMI, Oregon.
Okay, so Perrysburg and MAMI have ordinances that assesses these potential penalties that if commercial, residential, apartment owner, building owners, and the like don't notify the city of who is residing or utilizing that space. Is that correct?
Correct.
Oregon only does residential.
Their ordinance only speaks to residential. I do not know if they also do commercial. We have been doing commercial all along until it was pointed out to us that it doesn't say commercial. So we had a little bit of kickback. Everybody else, for the most part, has complied. It's just a matter of a commercial renter saying, these are the people that are renting out offices in our building, so that we're able to determine the businesses that are in the city.
So when you say we've been doing commercial all along, what, describe to me what, I'm not sure exactly what occurs, because you know the average residential, somebody buys a two-unit apartment complex and you know up and downstairs, and they say, how am I supposed to know this ordinance actually even exists for today? How does that occur? How do we notify the residential customers and potentially commercial customers?
Our office finds out that the person has purchased the building through either the water department letting us know or us seeing it on Aries or just seeing it throughout the city. And we will send a letter saying, according to our records, you are the owner of this address. Are you using it for personal purposes or are you using it for rental purposes? If they state rental, then we ask that they list their tenants.
Okay, and they, And the reason for the information being needed is so that we, so if somebody moves into an apartment that I own, that we can track the tax records for income tax purposes, is that the reason?
Correct, correct. And we may not be able to find out about that person otherwise because the water may remain in the owner's name.
Right. So explain to me, so in a commercial, I buy a building here in town. Patrick is renting 1,000 square feet from me and Marcus is renting the other 1,000 square feet for their small businesses that they have in the whole. Obviously, that's not the case here, but.
Right. Right.
Same thing would occur, same process would occur?
Yes.
And that's been going on now for some years?
Yes, the whole time that I've been employed by the city, even prior to me being commissioner.
Okay.
Which was 2002.
And you said there was pushback or questioning about it?
We, for the most part, we have compliance, but we did have one business commercial complex who said, I don't want to give you that information and you can't require me to because it's not residential.
Okay. That's the reason for the ordinance.
Correct.
So as the ordinance sits today, because I know, I'm sure Mr. Hanlon would be much more eloquent with this. Originally, when we considered this, he had concerns about the fact that this was a misdemeanor punishable by fine, imprisonment, or both as prescribed by 171.99 of the chapter of the municipal code. Is that the way it reads today?
Yes. All of the violations of the of any section of the tax code are criminal fines. We don't have any civil penalty provisions in our tax code currently.
Okay. Okay.
It's not delineated, or there's not a subsection for each penalty provision in each of the subsections. It's just a catch-all penalty provision at the end that says any violation of this chapter of the code is a criminal.
So mechanically, somebody violates this, what occurs? You send a note to where? How do we assess this
$171.99.
How do we determine that, or how do we run through that mechanics of that?
Christie's office first tries to collect, if it's unpaid income tax or people not complying, the ultimate goal really is compliance. So first, I believe she tries through a collection attorney.
Correct.
Which I don't know how much business or how many accounts they typically handle for the city. I do not handle that work, so I don't know what, if there are, once they are not, once there's no response for a period of time, I don't know what their process is, as far as when they file a civil lawsuit or, I know the prosecutor's office has not handled one in a very long time.
Christy, didn't you tell me earlier that the furthest you've taken it is to the turning over to the collection attorney?
And that is for someone who has a balance, a known balance. People who just don't provide information, we've honestly never taken beyond sending out requests for information.
So you just repeatedly send out the request?
Right.
You send the request to the owner of the unit?
Yes, yes.
Or
we find out through other means. We'll, if we drive by the establishment, we'll make note of the business, or we will Google the address and find it out that way.
So we've not utilized the $171.99 up to this point, as far as we know, ever?
I don't know about ever.
Well,
I can say since I've been around 25 years. Right.
Okay.
It's just a threat to have, I think, that we could fall back on.
Questions from other members of the committee?
So, and just a clarification, I know, you know, it says what their required name, address, telephone number, place of employment, and is that they don't need like a tax ID number, and then is it like the owner of the business that then we contact, or do you need to list all the employees working there, or what's the burden on the landlord for this kind of?
The burden on the landlord is just to provide us with who is renting from them. Once we establish that, then we contact the renter and say, okay, we know you're established in the city. You are required to file with the city. If you have employees, we need to establish a withholding account. And as a business, you need to file an income tax return.
So the landlord says, yeah, it's XYZ Corporation. Here's their phone number.
And that's enough information for us.
Their tax ID number and their employee account.
Right. I don't expect for the landlord to provide me with that information.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Right, and listening at the same time. Any other
It still works essentially the same for apartments and other residential locations as well, like for an apartment like SOMO. They would send you over anybody who's
missing
from them, and then it's up to you to do the follow-up at
that
point. And none of that happens at this point in time.
Apartment complexes do, and for the most part, if we send it to a business that, well, a landlord that has a commercial property, they will comply. It's just we've had feedback saying we don't have to because it's not in the ordinance. And I can't defend myself and say, but you should.
Okay. Mr. McCann, Ms. Stout? Questions?
No, that's clear for me.
Okay. No, I'm still waiting for Mr. Hamm. I guess I'm going to play devil's advocate for a minute.
Okay.
I'm not saying that I necessarily agree with Mr. Hamm's position, but he kind of related to me. Mr. Hamm is concerned that this would be a misdemeanor rather than a civil penalty. Why couldn't we use a civil penalty to accomplish the same thing?
Truly, there's no legally we can have the penalty provision for be whatever we would like it to be.
How would collection occur? I know we've got the control now for the residential apartment building owner person.
Right, and that would still be a criminal offense. That would still be criminal because that's how it is in our code now.
Right. So, Mr. Hamm, welcome to the meeting. Under this auspice, so how would if we did this commercially under a civil penalty, how would that mechanically work?
Council would establish what the penalty for not providing the information would be, and then it would just be a matter of trying to collect that from the landlord.
And how would that collection occur? Just through a collection agency, or would that go through to the courts of entry as well? If we chose to enforce it.
It could go through the courts. First, we'd probably go to the collection attorney, similar to what the process is now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mr. Hanno, I tried to carry some water for you to play devil's advocate, but now that you're here, feel free to ask questions or voice your concerns.
Okay, well, my concern is, I'm opposed to turning landlords in the city of Sylvania into criminals for negligent being unaware of an ordinance that with misdemeanor crimes. Leslie, what kind of other crimes are fourth degree misdemeanors?
In our code.
I
don't know offhand, Doug. This is about the income tax ordinance, and this would just be similar to what Monley and Perrysburg have adopted. Oregon does not have. That's what's at your seat.
You did the same Toledo.
Okay. We weren't sure about Toledo. That question did come up.
Well, the fact that Monley and Perrysburg want to turn their real estate investors into criminals doesn't mean that we should.
Mark, the tax department does not have a preference on what the penalty is. That's completely up to council. We're not advocating for one or the other. We just want it to be in the ordinance.
Right, understood. One thing, Mr. Hamm, that you need to be aware of is that residential penalty already exists in the code as it sits today.
I know that, and I didn't know that.
Right.
Until this ordinance came around.
Right.
I didn't vote for that. I wouldn't have voted for it then, and I think we ought to repeal that. I don't think we ought to make, you know, people own apartment buildings, make them criminals because they don't disclose to our tax department who their renters are. I haven't really looked at the, I don't like the idea that we're making landlords disclose who their tenants are, even. I mean, but I'm willing to overlook that, but I'm certainly not willing to make them criminals because they don't do it. I mean, I've talked to some real estate investors in the last couple of days about this provision, and they were not aware. These are people with some pretty substantial rental holdings in Northwest Ohio. And they weren't aware of any place in Northwest Ohio that had this kind of ordinance. So my guess is there's a lot of non-compliance with this in Maumee and Perrysburg. And you know, because people aren't gonna know, people don't know about this. It is not a rule in Toledo. So, you know, that anybody who is an investor in Toledo who has an apartment building in Maumee or Perrysburg could very well not be aware of that fact. And apparently are not, from the few people I've talked to.
So Mr. Hamm, there was, before you joined the meeting, there was an explanation by Christie regarding how the process works currently. So if you could just quickly repeat that again, that would be, I think, helpful for Mr. Hamm to understand.
Sure. We are not 100% expecting the property owner to know. When we find out that somebody owns a property, either through ARIES or through water or other means, we will send them a letter saying, according to our records, you are the owner of this establishment. Are you inhabiting it yourself, or are you using it as for rental purposes? If it's rental purposes, please provide a list of your tenants.
So a parent who rents a home to their kid, who buys a home and rents it to their child, make them disclose that to the tax department, and if they don't, you're going to criminally prosecute.
I don't want to criminally prosecute.
Well,
I just want the information.
That's what the ordinance says,
right?
Right.
Right. And I don't.
And there's no
that part of the ordinance I don't care about. I just want the information.
Okay, well, but that's what the ordinance provides.
Yeah, okay, Mr. Maynard, we did have a conversation prior to your coming about changing that requirement to a misdemeanor versus a. Civil infraction versus a misdemeanor. So I do think that was a concern for, I don't want to speak for everyone, but for at least a few of us.
Well, that would be a significant improvement. Mm-hmm.
Oh, as a commercial property landlord, I actually agree with Mr. Haynes' comments. I do not want to be accused of a criminal infraction. I don't have to have that on record. I'll be happy to share it, but that's not a criminal act.
Well, and I agree. I just want the information. And if you don't know who your tenant is, I don't know would be...
You're looking at getting your rent.
Right, right.
Nobody's name's on the
check. Right.
So really what we're looking at, before I go there, are there comments by other members of council regarding... the potential consideration of shifting this from a criminal misdemeanor, fourth degree, or whatever it is, to a civil, making it a civil matter with penalties that would accrue.
Thank you.
Mr. McCann, I see no.
I would propose that we also include in the ordinance changing the current ordinance to be a civil rather than criminal.
So I tend to agree with that question. The question that I have is, What sort of function of a similar nature do we have now that are civilly final, and what monies are attached to those? Do we have any sense for that?
I cannot think of any specifically civil-only penalties, but...
Are we within our legal rights as council to... To make that modification, I assume we are. Okay, so we have to assign a number to it.
If you'd like, I can do some research to see if other municipalities have done it similarly. And
maybe the other way to handle it is: what would be this if we went to and enacted and had a penalty associated with a 430 misdemeanor? What would the charge be?
The court would.
Or assigns a number.
Yeah, they have fines and often there's specific stuff. So, Christy, do you have a sense of what? I know if there are fines, or you know, there's late payment penalties and things like that for late filers. I don't know what those numbers are or what that dollar amount is.
The maximum fee for a late filer for someone who owes tax to us is $150. It's $25 a month with a limit of $150.
$150 one time?
Yes.
For every?
Well, per tax year.
Right.
Per unit? Building an apartment complex over here behind Kroger that's going to have, what,
200
units in it?
200?
Yes.
156.
456.
256.
256. 256. And there are 203 in Soma?
Yes.
We're going to find those people $150 a piece?
Well,
or to each of the units, or per
that's
property?
That's really $25 a month. I was just asking what other penalty provisions the income tax office charged. I have no idea. So that's what the answer is to that. Doesn't have to be the same.
To pass this ordinance, we need to put that dollar figure in, or is this a conversation that we could give the law director time to research and correct?
I think we can give the law director time. I'm just trying to flesh out.
Is this a real problem? Is this a problem? Do we have a lot of people in the city of Sylvania who aren't paying, who aren't filing their income taxes?
Do we know?
Well, it was mentioned there was one tenant that sort of counted this.
Okay.
One landlord.
One landlord with how many units?
I don't know the detail.
One click. Mr. Hand got a question. Christy, do you know how many? Because this was a commercial building, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, how many units were there? How big was the building?
It's a smaller building. It's a smaller building, and I would say it had between 4 and 6 offices that they were renting out.
My point is, the landlord isn't violating the income tax code. The renters are violating the income tax code. Why don't we just pursue that?
Because I don't know who they are.
They don't. What do you mean you don't know who they are? How hard did you look? Did you look at the entrance to the building? Did you look at the? I mean, was there a sign? Was there sending mail?
It's kind of a subcontractor. We require the contractor to provide that information. If we weren't standing there on site, then we wouldn't know what subcontractors are bringing in. So that's why we require the main contractor to report all that information. It's pretty similar to that.
So just out of curiosity, so Soma has 200 units, just rounded off. Somebody moves into Soma, how do you know?
Soma, we have contacted the landlord, and they provide us with, I'm not sure if they're doing monthly reports or quarterly reports, saying these are the people who have moved in since our last report, and these are the people who have moved out.
Okay, because the larger burden seems to me would be rental. Residential rental properties, we have lots and lots of units. Commercial property, we got four people in a small strip center where the names on the mass test pit, so to speak. You can walk through the door and knock on the door and talk to somebody. That's much less onerous for compliance, it would seem to me. I'm comfortable in looking at modifying this to be a civil penalty and letting the law director do some research and come up with a recommendation to council on what she and the other administrative staff members think that the civil fine could potentially be. What are other members of the council or the committee thinking in that regard?
Mark, would that include the change to require the business landlords to also report?
I think it should, yeah. If we're going to do, if we've been having it for compliance for residential, then I think it should be consistent between commercial and residential. Commercial seems to me to be easier compliance than residential.
Does this include lords?
In what regard?
And they're a landlord.
Because of the dorms?
Yes. Yeah.
Good question.
Dorms aren't permanent residences.
Wait a minute. This doesn't limit that.
Yeah.
That's a great question, Mr. McKenna. Again,
and is that commercial or residential?
Mommy and Perrysburg don't have that issue, so I think we probably, I would kick to Mrs. Branning to do some homework on that and whether those are technically required compliance
and then,
tenants or according to this, or whether that needs to be explained in a modified ordinance.
And then a deeper conversation to that is for residents that are living within the city that are going to school. And my son lives in an apartment. We pay for his rent. He doesn't have a job and he's going to school. Why do you need to know who he is?
If he is going to school, if your son has not changed his voter's registration, his driver's license, he is still considered a resident of Sylvania until he changes that.
But why would he need to register? Why would he need to file anything if he doesn't work?
Well, he wouldn't have to file.
We're getting all the tax laws now, but specifics of the ordinance. But those are tax requirements. That's a completely separate conversation, I think, Mr. Cannon.
Okay.
Well, I've experienced this with a daughter who graduated from Kent State, went to work in Aurora, Ohio, and kept getting tax notices from the city of Sylvania for 2 years that she hadn't filed when she didn't live here and was living independently on her own, which I had to respond, which I ended up responding to on her behalf. So, you know, and that experience, frankly, colors my view of this ordinance. Okay, it is that the 1 year was okay. The second year really annoyed me. Okay, after I explained the situation in a letter the first year, the next year we got another notification. And, you know, she's not me. She's not very combative. She was very upset with the whole thing. You know, when you get a tax notice and you're not a lawyer who's fought government for 43 years, those things bother you. And I think this is the problem here is what we're now doing. What this does is it makes the owner of real property who has no tax obligation to the city, makes them responsible for helping the city enforce against people who have a clear legal obligation to file a return. I mean, it kind of makes them snitches maybe it's because I grew up in Youngstown, but we didn't like rats when I was a kid growing up, and I don't like them now. And that's kind of what this is. So, you know, I certainly feel better with it as a civil crime, but I don't like it generally. I don't like putting this burden on people who are willing to invest money in the city of Sylvania and provide residences for a group of people that want to live here. And we're going to fill up all these apartments. People want to come here and live. And these people have invested a lot of money in it, and now, you know, we're going to fine them. I don't like it. So, well, let's talk about it more, but, you know, I don't think I'll like it at the end either, honestly.
Fair enough.
Something that I'm keeping in my mind is that we do have requirements for taxing that is consistent across our city. And if our department that is being paid by those taxes has to spend a lot more time in researching to try to find these people, and this could save a lot of their time and the money, I think it might be worthwhile to require landlords to spend 15 minutes once in a while to update who their people are, to then save our offices and save the time and the money of spending an hour to go drive by a place to knock on doors. I guess I'm just trying to show this counter of why it might be worthwhile to have a little bit of a backbone for the commercial. But I support the civil switch, and I also support adding the commercial to this.
I think that you made a good point there, Lindsay. And
you know, if this were an annual filing, it would be different too. But this is not, Lindsay, this isn't a 15-minute requirement. This is something people have to attend to monthly. No, it says within 30 days after a new tenant occupies such rental property. That's the requirement. So that means every month somebody has to take time to see who's moved in, who's moved out, and send a notice off to the city. That is not a, that's not a small requirement. That's the kind of, I mean, you know, when you talk about, when people talk about government regulation and the costs, this is exactly the kind of stuff that they're talking about. This is going to require somebody to be designated. If you own one of these apartment complexes, you're going to have to have, somebody's going to spend half a day on this at least every
month. So maybe there's a discussion about the time on it as well. But it doesn't seem to me that it should be that complicated. I would think if you're a landlord, you're used to figuring out what you need to have your people fill out, and you put a form in their packet when they register that they fill out, and you fax it over, or you scan it and send it over. It doesn't really feel that complicated. I think these are business leaders that hopefully can figure out an efficient way to do it. And maybe it's not monthly, maybe it's quarterly.
Well, I would like to hear from some people who actually do this rental stuff and see what they think about it. I didn't get this done until the last couple of days. I got to talk to some people. I'd like you to hear from some folks about what this burden is like. They were kind of shocked that we were doing this.
Are they investors in the city of Sylvania now, Mr. Hannon?
The guys I talk to have limited holdings in Sylvania, much broader holdings in Toledo, and one of them has pretty extensive holdings in Perrysburg. I think he's probably a non-compliance.
Well, if he's at the level that I'm guessing you're speaking to, that may be occurring. He doesn't even realize that's occurring.
That's right.
So it may well be getting done by somebody that is.
Oh, no.
Okay,
no,
fair
no,
enough. I don't
no,
know who you're talking to.
No.
But we've got some feedback. We've got council we've got to get to. I think the general consensus of the Finance Committee and other members of council is to shift this to be a civil penalty, ask administrative staff to consider what sort of penalties that those may entail, and look at modifying this to be consistent between the residentials and the commercials and the civil occupied model. Just out of curiosity, Mrs. Brenning, is that a 30-day undertaking? Is that a 60-day undertaking? What are we looking at here?
That's fine.
Okay.
I can also do some additional booking and see if there's different timing, if they only require quarterly, if some municipalities require quarterly or annual reports to it, that'd be helpful.
Christine, just out of curiosity, if it was, if they sent you a role for rental, because rental's going to have to go turn on that commercial.
Which we already have the rental. I mean, what we're adding to the ordinance is the commercial property, which is not the apartment complexes. Okay.
What you're saying, what we're looking at is trying to make the regulations simpler for the person who's investing in residential landlord or tenant in the city. I think that's where Mr. Haynes' mindset is going. So would quarterly or a semi-annually be sufficient?
Quarterly, semi-annually would be fine because we only expect tax filings once a year.
I assume that's what you're going to say, but I wanted to hear from you. Because there's other things going on with taxes that I may not, or others may not be aware of. So I appreciate that. Any other comments before we adjourn the meeting?
I move to adjourn.
Second.
Motion to move.
Are we going to set another committee meeting to consider this?
I wasn't planning on sending that with Mr. Haynes, but
okay.
I'm knowing what we're going to get back from the administration.
Okay.
We have a motion to adjourn, second by Mr. Richardson. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried. Thank you very much. We're adjourned at 7:00.